Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for Let Go, Let God Ministries with Reverend Carolyn and Reverend Wayne Anders. You will be blessed with the anointed preaching of these humble servants of God who have a word from the Lord for you today. God bless you as you listen.
Good morning, America. And a good morning to all my special friends across this world. It's a beautiful day in North Carolina. My name is Reverend Sherry Thompson, and I am so glad that you have made the decision to join us and hear God's word this morning. The sermon today is a life changer. So buckle up your seatbelts. We are headed for God's country. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful day, and I thank you for the word of God that you have prepared for millions of people across this great land, across America, across this universe, Father. I ask you to touch our president and his family, our vice president and his family, our congressmen, our senators, all of those who are taking part of this trial today, God. We pray for your perfect will and only your perfect will, for your ways are not our ways, God, and your thoughts are not our thoughts, O Lord. We do not think like you do, and we just give you all the glory and all the honor that I know with all my heart that you have this under control. Your perfect will is going to be done in this trial in Jesus' precious holy name. Father, I pray for the lost this morning, those that don't know you, that need a Savior, that are undone and need to be saved. God, I pray that you touch their hearts, that you open their ears, and you prepare them to hear and to receive the truth and nothing but the truth, and you set the captive free. I pray for those who have been lukewarm in the church, those who have been cold and distant from God, those who are just playing a church and that are a cardinal Christian. God, you said also the backslider. You are married to the backslider, Father. All we have to do is simply repent of our sins, ask forgiveness, and you are faithful to forgive us and set us back on the right track. I'm praying for those this morning that need to be on the right track. I'm praying for those this morning that need to be saved, that need a Savior, that need eternal life, that need to be rescued from hell's fire. Father, I ask you this morning to do a great thing, to be the voice that someone out there in this land hears and that desperately turns and surrenders in humility to you this morning, God. I pray for our nation. I pray that we expose the enemy, every plan that he has against our president, against this Congress, against these senators, every plan. We ask you in the holy, precious name of Jesus to be exposed, and we call it null and void in the name of Jesus. Every plan that the enemy would have against your country, against your people, we call it null and void in the name of Jesus, because your plan, your perfect will go forth in Jesus' precious holy name. And God, I thank you for our first responders, our EMSs, our firefighters, our policemen. Father, I ask you to protect them, to put a hedge around them, protect them from themselves, protect them from others, and get them safely back home. And Father, I ask you to protect and to touch our military men and women who fight to keep our country free. God, help them to be alert. Help them to have a sound mind. Help them to know their surroundings. Put a hedge of protection around them. Any plans that the enemy has against them, we call them void and null in Jesus' name. And get them back safely home with their families and protect their families while their spouses are away fighting to keep our country free, O Lord. Father, I just thank you for everything that you're going to do today and everything you have done. And thank you so much for this beautiful day and for this word that you have given us, God, that it can be written upon our hearts and that our perfect will can be done. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your joy. Fill us with your happiness. Fill us with your perfect will. Father, lead the way that we may be pleasing before you on this day of January 25, 2020. In the holy name of Jesus, I give you all the glory and all the honor. And everyone out there says amen and amen. I am so, so glad to be with you today. And I'm so glad that you have tuned in to hear the word of God. And I thank Blog Talk Radio and Reverend Wayne and Reverend Carolyn Anders for the opportunity that they give me every single week to share the gospel of God so that someone has hope, someone knows that they're loved, someone knows there is a way out. God always makes a way of escape. I say bless you, Blog Talk Radio. Bless you, Reverend Wayne and Carolyn Anders. God bless you, and may his perfect will be done in your life. And the title of the message this morning is Humility Grows Best in the Rich Soil of God's Grace. Now, today I'm going to be teaching on six ways to jumpstart your spiritual life. And my text is going to be coming from James 4, 6 through 10. Now, my precious friends, here are two words, two little words, but are so powerful. Humble yourself. Someone shouted at a football game those two simple words. Humble yourself. It happened just after the end of the college football playoff game between Georgia and Oklahoma. Now, as the two teams were going off of the field after Georgia defeated Oklahoma in a thrilling double overtime victory, one of the Georgia players spotted the Oklahoma quarterback and shouted those two little words to him, humble yourself. It was unique enough that the video clip spread across the internet. Now, you can hear lots of things after a football game, but you rarely hear someone shout, humble yourself. It reminds me, it is excellent advice to all of us. Now, if pride is the first sin, then humility is the first virtue. Years ago, I learned the first rule of the spiritual life. Now, here's, he's God and we're not. That is the first spiritual rule of spiritual life. He's God and we're not. All spiritual growth starts with this truth. Until you grasp what it means, you are still in spiritual kindergarten. Now, James 4, 6, and 10 fleshes out what it means to humble yourself in the eyes of the Lord. In this passage, my friends, we discover six steps that unlock the path of God's blessings for his children. Would you like to know God better this morning? Then humble yourself. This is what God is saying to all of us this morning. Would you like to receive God's approval? Then humble yourself. Would you like to break through a victory? Then humble yourself, my friends. Would you like a closer walk with God in 2020? Pay attention to the passage because it will help you jumpstart and refresh your spiritual life. Now, here is number one. Sometimes we just need to take a knee to pray. We just need to take a knee to pray. James 4, 6, and 7 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Humility doesn't come naturally to most of us, my friends. It's the virtue which, if you think you have it, you probably don't. Now, the famous preacher D.L. Moody used to pray, Lord, make me humble, but don't let me know it. Wow, Lord, make me humble, but don't let me know it. I love that. No one likes to be told what to do. We would rather be in charge of our own affairs, and that's why the whole notion of surrendering our pride to the Lord sounds strange at first. But there is no other way to get better. There is no other way to be healed. And my friends, there is no other way to be forgiven. There is no other way to find a new life. Now, we can fight the Lord, or we can surrender everything in His control. When we fight, we lose. When we surrender in faith, we win. Now, some of my friends told me that once they saw a sign, well, when we fight, we are going to win. But when we surrender in faith, we always win. That's not only powerful, but freedom words. Freedom words, my friends, that gives us authority and power to defeat our enemy and become victorious. Now, again, there were some friends that told me that they saw a sign painted on the side of a bus in Nicaragua that said, "Man's not God." Whoa, wow, really? We know that. We have to know that if we're children of God. That sums it up, doesn't it? You aren't God, and you never were, and you never will be. Start there, and you'll be on the right path. Humility grows best in the rich soil of God's grace. The best rich soul in God's grace. Don't pray for more humility. Pray for more grace. Pray that God will pour out His grace in your heart so that you will only boast in the Lord. The proud must constantly remind you how great He is. He brags because He wants you to praise. He wants you to praise Him. But if you have to tell me how great you are, how great could you possibly be? The braggart brags because he's trying to convince you and himself, oh, how great he is. The humble man doesn't brag because the truth speaks for itself. He leaves the reputation in the Lord's hands because it doesn't matter to him what others think. He wants God's reputation to become great in the land. What happens to him doesn't matter as long as the Lord's cause goes forward. Now, my friends, walking in humility means you confess your sins, you forgive your enemies, you admit your mistakes, and you don't brag about how great you are. It also means you serve others with a smile, not a frown. God opposes the proud. Don't let that happen to you. But He gives grace to the humble. So pray for the grace that you need. Take a knee in prayer. You'll be glad that you did, my friend. And number two, sometimes we must fight back. James 4:7 says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." This is both a command and a promise. Now, if we submit to God, we may be sure that when we resist the devil, he will flee from us. We have no power in ourselves against the devil, my friends, but he has no power to use against us when we fight with God's power. But ourselves, we cannot win with God's power. We cannot win, but ourselves, we can't win without God's help. We can't lose if we have God on our side. Yes, that's what I said. Now, the word resist is a military term. It means you stand and fight. You don't run away. You don't run away or to flee to temptation, but we are to fight the devil. That means taking up the armor of God and standing in the evil day. Found in Ephesians 6:10-17. If someone has to tell you that you are great, how great could you possibly be, my friends? Really? Now, Satan is like a football coach studying the opposing team. He has gamed them on us, and he knows our weaknesses and our strengths, and he uses what he knows against us. Now, if you can get discouraged, if he can get you discouraged, he's already won the battle. He knows when you lose your temper. Satan isn't equal to God, but he's a lot smarter than you and me. Don't be surprised when he hits you out of the blue. Fight back, my friends. Fight back. Don't be surprised when he comes to you with a seductive temptation. Fight back in the name of Jesus. Fight back. Let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you. Don't be surprised when he whispers in your ear in the moment of weakness. And then is when you fight back, you take a stand, and you resist the devil. And when you resist the devil, he must flee. Now, the devil is a murderer by nature. That's found in John 8:44. He will destroy your career, your marriage, your relationships, your family, your ministry if you let him. And you've got to take a stand, and you must fight back. Remember, Satan studies our game theme. He knows where we stand. He knows who we are. Fight back with the word of God. Fight back with singing great hymns unto the Lord. And fight back by praying to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the living and only God. Fight back by leaning on your brothers and your sisters, because the Bible says iron sharpens iron. And fight back confessing Jesus Christ openly as your Lord and Savior. You must fight back, my precious friends, by coming to the Lord's table and asking for his help and his assistance on a daily basis. That is how you're going to win the fight, and that's how God is going to stand by you and walk every mile of the way through this faith walk. Fight back by fleeing every temptation that Satan would put before you. Stand and fight, child of God. Fight back. God's given you the power. He's gone before you. He's already equipped you for the battle. Resist the devil, and he must flee from you. Now, here's number three. Draw near. James 4:8 says, the question is not how near is God to us, but rather how near are we to him? Every married couple understands that proximity is one thing, but intimacy is something entirely different. A couple may be seated on the couch, but miles apart from each other. They may sleep together in their bed that they share, the same bed spiritually, but it is quite possible to be married and live entirely separate lives. Drawing near to God starts in your heart, my friends. Take another married couple and watch them for a moment. She may be knitting a blanket or playing the piano or singing hymns, and he may be reading a book or on his computer or playing a little golf in his house or something, or he may be listening to her play the piano. You never know what somebody might be doing, but minutes may pass without a word being spoken, but they are happy together because they love one another, and they know they have their differences, and they know they have their hobbies, and you need time to yourself sometimes. Time to be alone with God, time to just grasp and take hold of yourself. Now, he has drawn near to her, and she has drawn near to him, and he has drawn near to him, and God has drawn near to him. Now, we come to God with that same desire to know him. He will draw near to us. You do not need to be an advanced Christian or a super saint or a deep Bible student to really know the Lord. Ask him into your heart. Repent of your sins. God will come in. If you are serious, he knows. He knows in your heart if you mean business, if you're serious, if you're sincere, or he knows if it's just lip service and you don't mean a word you're saying. the newest saint and the weakest believer may know God's presence. Years ago, my friends, I heard a question put this way. If God feels far away from you, then here's my question to you. Who moved? It's never the Lord that moves. We may know his presence and feel his pleasure if we truly want it. He will draw near to you if you draw near to him. And here is number four, my friends. We must clean up our lives. James 4 and 8 says, clean your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God gives us the word, and he gives us the truth, and he shows us the direction to get on the right path, to take the right actions, to get on the right road that leads to eternal life. We need to stop and listen with our heart, not just our ears, not just mental assent, but divine revelation from the word of God, my friends. Hear what God is speaking to you. And then when you hear it, apply it to your life. Obey him. That is the key. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Someone out there is listening to me this morning. Someone is hearing what the Lord is speaking to them. Now we must cleanse our hearts because they are dirty with sin. We must purify our hearts because they are divided and we are distracted. Look around us at the world that we live in today, my friends. Do you see where we are? Do you see that we need desperately God to help us, to give us direction, to help us know the truth from a lie so that we can be free and not fall into deception and believe a lie? And at the end of our journey on this earth, we find ourselves with God standing before God, and he says, I never knew you. You did it your way. That's not what I want for you, my friends. And I know that's not what God wants for you. That's why this message is so important. That's why we're in God's country today, my friends. We're in God's country today because this message is so important and so vital, vital for your life. This means we stop making excuses for bad attitudes, for casual unkindness, for clever put-downs. Don't put down somebody. Don't hurt them. Don't backstab them. Don't slander them. Don't gossip about them. For dabbling, stop dabbling in pornography. For bragging about our accomplishments, stop it. For envy of others, stop it. For bitterness, for a critical spirit, for our prayerlessness. We need to get in our prayer closets and find who we are, find out who God is, and find that perfect will that God created us for. For our need to be in control, my friends, for giving in to despair, for hating our enemies instead of loving them. God doesn't say hate your enemies. He says, love your enemies. Pray for those that abuse you and do you wrong. Who are you? The church is losing her voice. She's losing her hearing. She's hearing what she wants to hear, and she's not hearing the voice of God. God is speaking desperately to someone who really wants to know him, who really wants to love him, who really wants to find love and joy and peace, who wants to find the right direction, the right way, the right path that leads to eternal life. Someone out there is hearing me this morning, and someone is going to receive the truth and nothing but the truth, my friends. Oh, my goodness. God is so good, and he's so loyal, and he's so faithful, and he's so here for you today. And for our failure to do what we ought to do, we must do what is right if we are going to grow, if we're going to mature, if we're going to be examples for somebody else, for our family. We must be examples for our family. Are you leading your, I did a sermon not too long ago. Are you leading your family to hell? What example are you leaving for them? What legacy are you leaving your loved ones that you love so dearly, your family, your friends, your coworkers? Who are you? What true example are you to man in this world at this time, on this day of January 25th, 2020? Take some time, my friends, to get alone with God. Pray this example of prayer. Lord, show me the truth about myself. Then write down what the Lord says to you. In my own experience, friends, you can't do this in 10 minutes. You can't do this when you are too busy. It takes time to open your hearts to the Holy Spirit. Now, when I have done this, I have been appalled at what I found in my own heart that God revealed to me about myself. But then I have also been for the cleansing that comes from confusion and repentance. When you're transparent before God, He'll be transparent before you. And that is the only way you can change and mature and to know the truth that sets the captive free. And Hosea 10 and 12, it says this, it offers us a wonderful promise. It says, plow up the hard ground of your heart. Somebody's listening. For now is the time to seek the Lord, that He may come and shower righteousness upon you. Yes, God wants and loves you so much. Plowing is hard work, because it means digging up rocks and pulling up the weeds that keep the good fruit from growing. But if we, by God's grace, do the hard thing, the Lord promises to send the rain that produces a new life with new joy and fresh fruit from heaven. Someone out there hears me this morning. God loves you so much. Thank you for feeling that presence, because God is arresting someone right there where you are, where you're lying, where you're sitting, where you're standing. It doesn't matter where you are. The Spirit of God is everywhere. But there will come a time when the Holy Spirit will take two steps back, and He will no longer be in this world. So today is the day of salvation. And number five, we must get serious about the Father's business, about His word, about His truth, about what He really wants us to do in our lives, because He made us He made a perfect plan for each one of us. His perfect will is the only thing that we'll do, and His perfect will is the only way to go, and then it will lead us in the right direction, so that when we stand before Him one day, He will be so pleased. And He'll say to us, welcome in, faithful child of God. You don't want to hear if you're not faithful. If you're a tree with no leaves, with no fruit, you don't want to hear God say, I never knew you. You did it your way. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. There are two choices, and I've just given them to you. And this is what James 4 and 9 says, be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Now, I know that sounds very strange, but hold on. Don't go anywhere. I have a point to make. God's word is always so good. Now, you just listen. Listen to what the word is saying to you this morning. Now, this isn't exactly your best life now, and it doesn't sound like the abundant life. This scripture doesn't sound that way, but hold on. We're in God's country. Hold on. Or the life that wins. In fact, listen. In fact, this version runs counter to the I want to be happy all the time version of Christianity that is very popular all over this world. Be wretched? You got to be kidding. Who wants to be wretched? Mourn? Don't worry. Be happy. Who wants to mourn? Weep? That's a real downer, right? This verse seems like a downer. Hold on. Don't you forget, we're in God's countries, and our ways are not his ways, and our thoughts are not his thoughts. The way he speaks is not the way we speak. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. If we laugh, we should stop and start mourning. If we have joy, turn it into gloom. Hold on. I'm making a point here. I'll be the first to agree that this verse stated this way seems like a downer. But let's stop and let's go back and ask ourselves what James means by all of this. Is he a killjoy? Absolutely not. That can't be right. Is he a nattering nabob or negativism? Whatever that is, that's not who God is. Is he a frowning Puritan? That's not fair because the Puritans were supremely happy in God. James wants us to get serious about our relationship with God. When the theologian R.S. Sproul, which was a great man of God, when he died in December of 2017, Russell Pullman wrote an assessment of his life in the Washington Post. He located Sproul's huge influence in the fact that he believed in the theologian of John Calvin, that he led to this sentence. Sproul believed that we are more sinful than we usually think we are. People, we're a lot more sinful than what we think. Let's not deceive ourselves. God is here to bring us before our own selves this morning and to be transparent, to be open, to hear the truth so he sets us free. Free, free, free. Humble yourselves before God, and that is the way you can be free. That's spot on accurate, absolute accuracy. Both as a statement of what Sproul believed and the true American self-assessment. Most people, even those who don't go to church, would agree they are sinners. That is no one's perfect. We all make mistakes, and so on. It's not hard to get people to agree with that concept, is it? But the Bible goes much further than that. It tells us that sin has infected every part of the human life, human society, that we are spiritually dead, spiritually blind, lost, separated from God, without hope in the mark. The whole human race is lost, broken, dead, blind, deaf, and to God's truth. They're blind and dead to God's truth. In a state of perpetual rebellion is what they're in, and so separated from God that we are under his wrath and bound for eternal punishment in hell. Listen up, my friends. This is the way out. God is giving you a way of escape this morning. That's what God says about the whole human race, and that is the truth. That's God's verdict on you and I. If you don't believe that, or if you think that's too harsh, or if you can't handle the truth, then this verse will make no sense to you. Big-time sinners need a big-time Savior. It all depends on how messed up you really think that you are. Small sinners need a small Savior. Moderate sinners need a moderate Savior. But big-time sinners need a big Savior. Hey, listen up. We're in God's country. We're speaking the truth and nothing but the truth. We all are big-time sinners. Once we see our sin as it really is, we will be wretched and mourn and weep. We'll stop laughing and start crying. We'll let our joy be turned to mourning. And that opens the door to the abundant life that we all are seeking. Weeping may endure for a night, but God says, joy comes in the morning. This promise comes true whenever can give you eternal life. Only God can wake up the dead. And that's what we are until we know Christ as Lord and Savior. We are the living, walking dead. Now, number six, least but not last, we must stay low. James 4 and 10 says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Now, when I read an article recently about a man called Don Logue, who became the executive director of Word of Life a few years back, well, quite some years back. He asked his mentor, Howard Hendricks, for his advice. His reply was simply this: lie low and exalt Christ. In other words, put Christ before you. Put Christ first in all you do, all you say, everywhere you go. Put Christ first. That's what it means to lie low. That's a good word for all of us. Now, we can brag on ourselves or we can exalt Christ. But, my friends, we cannot do both at the same time. The sentence stands as a powerful admonition for every Christian. It is the greatest advice because it describes two choices. You can exalt yourself or you can exalt Christ, but you cannot absolutely do both. You cannot. When we decide to lie low and exalt Christ, there is no limit. The sky is the limit because there's nothing that God won't choose to do through you when you choose him first, when you put him first, when you decide to obey and not to rebel. The Bible says to rebel is a sign of witchcraft. I'm just giving you the truth this morning. Only the truth sets you free. It begins this, when I begin this sermon by talking about one football player who shouted at another football player, humble yourself. Woo! Humble yourself. What he said to his rival, God says to us right now. His message is so clear, crystal clear. We can be blessed, but we must humble ourselves before him. We can be blessed, but we must humble ourselves before him, my friends. We can change. But what do we have to do? We have to be humble before God. We can experience the abundant life, but we must be humble before God. Now, in these early days of 2020, in January the 25th, many of us are thinking about how we can get a fresh start and make a new beginning. Well, James 4, 6 through 10 shows us the path that will jumpstart and refresh your spiritual life. The things that we must do is we have to take a knee in prayer. We have to fight back and take a stand with everything we have. And we must draw near to God so he can draw near to us. We must clean up our life, clean up our mouth, clean up our thoughts. And this is from God's word, not Reverend Sherry Thompson's. This is God's word to you this morning. This is a gift wrapped up so beautifully for you. You just don't know it. We must get serious before him. Remember, he knows if you're serious. He knows in your heart if you're real or if it's just lip service that you're bringing before him. And we must stay low. We must be about God and not ourselves, not doing it our way, but his way. In the kingdom of God, the way up is down. Yes, I'm sorry, I had to stop and take a drink of water. The way up is down. If you humble yourself, the Lord will raise you up. one final thought keeps ringing in my heart and in my head. Verse 6 reminds us that God opposes the proud. Think on that for a moment, my friends. God opposes the proud, but he loves those who are humble before him. He'll do anything for those who are humble, anything for those who don't think so highly of themselves, but put their trust and obedience totally in the Father, in God alone. Could a Christian be an enemy of God? Yes. If that is not true, then these words of James have no application to most of us. In God's kingdom, the way up is down. Could God be opposed to one of his own children, even though he loves them and with an everlasting love? The answer is yes, because God loves us so much that he will not leave us the way we are. God says in his word, he goes after the one out of the 99. He will do what he has to do in order to get us on track. His love leads him to oppose our pride, our anger, our loose tongue. Woo! Someone out there is hearing me and it has a potty mouth. Someone is hearing this sermon this morning. God is not pleased with that. He is not pleased with that. That's not his nature. You're portraying him when you are totally misleading people when you say you love God and you are a Christian and you have a potty mouth and you have anger and you have pride and your tongue is so loose. Who are you pleasing, my friend? Are you pleasing the world? Are you pleasing yourself? Are you pleasing God? What matters is that we please God. Our lust, our unkind spirit, and any other excuse that we could possibly make for our sins won't stand or hold water. And our excuses are full of holes. One day we'll stand before him. We won't be able to say a word. We won't have any excuses then. Where do you stand with God today? Are you walking in total humility and love? That's where you should be. That's where your voice will be heard so loudly and clear you won't even have to say anything. Your love and your humility will show. It's like those old filter commercials where the machine says, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. If you humble yourself now, God won't have to do it later. In other words, God won't have to humble you for yourself. You see, he gives you a choice, but he doesn't want to leave you the way that you are because he loves you so much. A wise friend once told me, the first price that you pay is always the cheapest. He's right. The price for dealing with our problems never goes down. It always goes up. That's true personally, and it's true for our relationships. We put off dealing with our issues because we think it will cost too much to deal with them now. But that's a huge mistake, my friends. Sin left untouched always grows. Sin will burst into a huge mess if you do not do something about it. It's like a deadly cancer. You leave it untreated. Sin always spreads because it is a cancer of your soul. You see, you were born with an Adamic nature, and your flesh is absolutely no good. The only good thing about you is the spirit that lives on the inside of you if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you have not, you're living in your flesh and you have no other way. And your flesh is no good, my friends. And it is a cancer to your soul. We can humble ourselves in the eyes of the Lord, or we can go on living the way we want to until the time God has no other choice and he decides to humble us. You see, I'm trying to show you there's two choices. You have a choice to humble yourself because God doesn't want you to die. He doesn't want you to go to hell. or he will choose the way for you. The choice is ours. Every blessing awaits those who will humble themselves before the Lord. This is the promise of God, and it is good news indeed, my friends. May God help us to take these words to our heart. And this is my prayer for you this morning. Oh, Lord, grant us grace that we might humble ourselves in your sight. Show us where pride has taken root. Shine the light of your word on the hidden parts of the heart. Where we have sinned, have mercy, Father. Restore us, O God. O Lord, that we may rejoice in you once again. That we may be a true friend of God. That we may be in desire of being a God pleaser and not a people pleaser. Those words I leave with you this morning, my friends, they are a love letter to you from your Heavenly Father. This message was prepared with you in mind because he loves you so much. You see, I'm transparent before you because I love you too. And I don't want anyone to perish. I certainly don't want my loved ones to perish, my friends, my family, my coworkers, or anyone. But God always makes a way of escape. So I leave you with those precious words. And I want you to tell me if God has done something for you in your life today. There's a comment box that you can leave comments. If you need prayer, tell us what your prayer needs are. If you have been saved this morning, please let us know that God has saved you and you are now a child of God. If you, if God has done something wonderful for you, if he's blessed you, we want to hear what God has done in your life. We care about you and we love you so much. But I also want to give you an open invitation, an invite from God, because God says today is the day of salvation. You can be free and free indeed, because who the Son sets free, it is free indeed. So I'm going to ask you if you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning. And if you do, just simply repeat after me this simple prayer, the sinner's prayer. Father, in the holy name of Jesus, I come before you this morning, a sinner undone without a Savior. God, I ask you to wash me and cleanse me and wash me as white as snow. Make me full of your humility. Make me full of your grace and your love and your tenderness and your joy and your happy. Make me a living example for you today, God. Change me and set me on the right path. Thank you, God, for hearing and honoring my prayer this morning. And thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you for this message this morning that has opened my eyes, that has opened my heart to the truth. Thank you for setting me free. In Jesus' holy name. And everybody out there says amen and amen. And if you prayed that prayer this morning, I welcome you to the family of God, because he set you free. The old man is dead. You are a new creation. And God is beginning to take that pen out of your hand and write a new story, a story that he's always intended you to have, his complete will in your life. God loves you so much, my friend. We always remember that. He is for you and he is never against you. His favor surrounds you. And never forget, my friends, you are so precious to him. Humility grows best in the rich soil of God's grace. That's where you will find victory today. God bless you until we meet again.